Well, I feel a good sweet spirit here tonight. Let's see if I can get this thing on. Anybody else want to brag on Jesus just quickly before we're going to Luke chapter number 9, by the way. I'm going to pray before I begin. I've just got a little thought, a little lesson. Maybe it won't take, I don't think I'll be long. That's usually when I'm the longest, but just pray with me and for me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and you know I just want what you want. I just want you glorified, honored, uplifted, magnified, and exalted. That's what I want, Father. Would you help me tonight? Give me clarity of thought and speech. And Lord, open the hearts to receive. And we'll just praise you for all you do. Speak to that one that's discouraged, that one that's cast down, that one that's thinking about quitting. Father, speak to that one that's nearest hell. Oh God, please help us. We'll praise you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, this time of year, I really just pass basically December, spiritually speaking, and I'm just almost in my mind, I'm at the first of the year. I'm gearing up for the first of the year. Try to do better. Try to be more what I ought to be for the Lord. And so I start thinking in those ways. And I don't know if that's the right way to do, if I ought to just be basking in the Savior's birth, but that's how I'm wired up. That's just how I'm kind of connected. And so I read this today in Luke chapter number 9, starting in verse 57. Very familiar text. But it just seemed to jump out and grab me. And I just feel like I have two or three different things I could have done for the night. But I just feel like I just want to give you a little thought this evening. The Bible said in chapter 9 and verse number 57 of St. Luke, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, if you have a Scofield Bible at the top of that verse 57, it says another test of discipleship. Well, look in Luke 9 and verse 23. "And he said to them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world?" Now we use this in relation to salvation many times, But in the context, we're dealing with service. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angel. So here we see Luke in this verse 23 through 26 giving us some truths regarding discipleship, regarding being a follower, a student, a pupil of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what some people say. They would disagree with me, or I would disagree with them, however you want to say it. They say every believer is a disciple. I think there are some stringent requirements for discipleship. I think it requires more than just being saved. And I think we see this in our text in verse 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Then we come over here to our text and we see another, if Dr. Schofield is right, we see another test of discipleship. But look in Luke chapter number 14 before we settle in on the text this evening. In Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 25, the Bible says this, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also," listen what the Scripture says, "he cannot be my disciple." Cannot be. Let's look at verse 27. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then the passage talks about counting the cost. And that's going to tie to our text. So let me just read that with you. "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." There's mockery in beginning but not finishing. The world will mock you, spiritually speaking, if you begin and do not finish. Saying, verse 30, let me start there, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath," here's our phrase again, "he cannot be my disciple." We see that phrase three times. Verse 26, "yet in his own life also he cannot be my disciple." Verse 27, "and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then in verse 33, "so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." Now, having said that, how many disciples do we have? "That forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." My esteems, there is a cause to discipleship. Now, as I studied this text, and you can find a few of these passages in the other Gospels, but here is Luke three times. He brings up the same discipleship. Why is that? Well, if you were to look in Luke chapter number 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm just turning to see if I can find the fellow's name. He is writing, and it may not be... Yes, it's in Luke chapter 1, verse number 3. He's writing a letter. Most writers think to a young man named Theophilus. He is investing his life in this young man named Theophilus. And so we keep seeing this is for a couple of things, but one of the primary things, Luke is teaching this young man that there is a cost to serving the Lord. There's a cost to it. There are many benefits to serving the Lord, but there is a cost that comes with giving your life and following the Lord. And we're going back to chapter 9, verse 57. But while you're coming there, I want to read to you chapter 9, verse 57 through verse 62 is the last six verses of chapter 9. The second verse of chapter number 10 says this: "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." He's teaching, here's what you have to do to be a disciple. Here's what you have to do to be a disciple. Here's what you have to do to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he comes to chapter 10, and he says, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." I think that's by coincidence the way that's placed in the Scripture. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." If there's one thing you ought to pray for every time you pray, it's laborers for the harvest. You ought to pray that prayer. The Bible instructs us to do that. And so many times I'm negligent in that area. But I should be very conscientious. The Bible specifically tells us that is a prayer request we should have. Now we come down. Let's get in our text and let me give you a few little truths here. And Probably you already know these. What we're going to do is take these principles laid out in the earlier part of the chapter and we're going to put them in shoe leather. We're going to see what takes place when folks decide they're going to serve God. You decide you're going to serve God, there's some things that's going to happen. And we're going to see what they are. In verse 57, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord." He called him Lord. And he says this, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Now, here's what we would say about a man that would say this. "Now, Lord, here I am, and I will follow you wherever you take me. Wherever you want me to go, that's where I'll go." Now here's what we would say, that's a sold out man. That man sold out. He's serious about serving the Lord. You know what I think? I think he is serious. I think this man is serious about serving God. He said, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." I don't know if the Lord has given him an invitation or has commanded him to follow me, as he's going to tell the other two, but we have no record that anything was said. It's as if this man has evaluated the situation. He's evaluated his Lord, and he said this, "I'm going to follow you whithersoever thou goest." And we would say, praise God, he's right on target. But I want you to notice what Jesus said to him. And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, And birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, what was he trying to say to this fellow? This fellow said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And I think what the Lord's saying is, if you follow me, there's going to be some financial situations or some luxury situations, or you're going to, in this case, I think we could go as far to say, you may have to experience some poverty. If you follow me, it's not going to be living in a castle. Everything's not going to just be easy going, if I can say it that way. A bed of ease, maybe, would be a way to say what I'm trying to say. But here's what Jesus said. You need to stop and think about this. There's a cost. There is a cost. There's a lot of men that could be millionaires today, but they chose to serve God and put Him first in their life. That's right. I mean, many of God's people who sell out for God and truly sell out for Him, they're people of extremes. Whatever they do it all out. And I think a lot of these folks who have sold out for God, it's cost them something. I know there's some fishing partners, Peter, John, and James. I'm assuming Andrew was part of the partnership as well. You know what happened when they sold out for God? You know what the Bible said? They forsook all. You know what it said about Levi when he sold out for God? At the receipt of customs, he forsook all. He forsook all. Can I tell you, I don't know if we can halfway serve God. I know we make attempts at doing that, but I don't know if God takes second place. Fact of the matter, I know He doesn't take second place. God wants first place in His children's life. And so here's a fella that has sold out. Now all of a sudden, I'm going to use this from a little alliteration, finances come into play. Finances come into play. I know men, so they can be faithful to the house of God. They got off their shift premium job, and they work straight days. Less money. Much less money if you figure overtime and all that stuff. And they work straight days. And they sacrifice those finances so they can be faithful to God and put Him first. And here's the first thing. The first thing I see that you're going to deal with when you start, when you choose to sell out for God, there may be some financial loss that becomes part of your life. Now, I know when you start talking about finances, you get everybody all upset. But that's just the fact of it. And I think that's what the Lord was trying to tell this fella. And it may be in 2019 as we start serving God, if you really sell out for God. And I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I can't hardly take care of myself, to be honest with you sometimes. But here's what I'm saying. It may be it cost you something financially to serve God. It did. It was going to this fella. The Lord's telling him, look, you may not have a good warm bed and a pillow to lay your head on at night. And so the first thing I see that's going to maybe come into play in your life as you try to serve God is this thing of finances. This thing of finances. But then let's go on. Just look at a couple of other things this evening. And at verse number 59, and he said unto another. So that makes me think he may have said something to the first man. I can't dogmatically say that, but the Bible said, and he said unto another, follow me. And I'm just going to stop right here and say this. That's what he's saying to you tonight. Can I tell you what the Lord wants you to do with your life? Follow Him. Follow Him. Young fellas, You want me to tell you what you're supposed to do with your life? I can tell you exactly what you're supposed to do. Follow Him. Follow Him. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. And so He says to this fella, He says to him, follow Me. But then I want you to notice what He said. But He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. So first we see finances. Now we see the family. And my, how many of God's children have been hindered by the family? Amen. The family. Whether it be an unbelieving spouse or a backslid spouse, whether it be children trying to put pressure on you some way to get you out of the church or maybe to do for them and keep you out of church, whether it be your parents, ungodly parents, like some of these van children face. How many times has I wonder, in this thing of serving the Lord, has family interfered? Has family come between truly serving God, truly being a disciple, and coming between them and their Lord? And so here's what He said. He said, follow Me. But He said, Lord, suffer. Notice the phrase. I know we've talked about this before. Suffer Me first. Me first. We see it again in verse 61. But let Me first go bid them farewell. Me first. The priority is Me first. I want what's best for Me first, then I'll put You first. Doesn't work that way. It's not how God operates. Notice what it says here. Let's get back to verse 59. And He said unto another, follow Me. But He said, Lord, suffer Me first to go and bury My father. Here's what He said. I will follow You, but let Me do what I need to do first. Let Me take care of My part first. Let that come before You. And here's the thing the devil does. He always brings something between you and the work of the Lord. Once the daddy's buried, it'll be something else for this fella. And something else. And something else. And sometimes God's people even plan things that come between them and their Lord. Maybe they take up this thing of restore. Let me just give you an example. What come to my mind is restored an old automobile. We live in this age of all these hot rods going up here to Pigeon Fords and all them kind of things. Don't you know those folks have spent a lifetime chasing parts, calling, hunting the right paint color, chasing serial numbers, trying to run down these parts that's 40 years old. They consume their life with that. Their whole life is consumed with that. And you can just fill in the blank. Maybe I shouldn't say this. We used to have a member. He always had to have a carpentry project going. He'd get one done, he'd start another. And he had a lot of potential to help the church. But he didn't have time. I went by his house. I forgot what for. One night, 10 o'clock, he's out there building. 10 o'clock at night. How in the world can a man that works a job, gives his family any time, and builds to 10, 11 at night, how in the world can he serve God? And it was his choice. He chose to do that. Here's what this fellow's saying. He's saying, look, I've got something that really, really there's a purpose behind it. I mean, it's not a frill. It's not some kind of entertainment or pleasure. And most writers will say this. I'll just tell you that what he's really saying is, I want to go back home and wait till my father dies and then bury him and then I'll follow You. That's what a lot of them say. That's supposition as far as I can tell from the Scripture. That may be so, but the Scripture doesn't say that. He just said, suffer me first. And he must have known it was going to be a problem for the Lord. Notice the word suffer. Maybe it's something like this. Lord, be long-suffering with me. And let me first go and bury my father. I don't know if that would be a fair word to put in there, but I think about that word when I see that word suffer. Now, here's what I would have thought that Jesus would have said, I understand. You're His son. That's your dad. You need to be a respectful son, and I understand that. That's not what Jesus said. See, we can go to Luke 14, saying, unless you hate your father and your mother and your, all them things. And it doesn't mean truly hate, but that idea carries the idea of preference or to prefer less than you do the Lord. And so here's what the Lord said to that fellow. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. Let the dead bury their dead. But here's what he said to him, even though he was wanting to bury his father, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now here's what the Lord is really saying, put me first ahead of your daddy. Don't you think that's what's being said? I don't know what else you can make out of it. And you can explain to me 100 times why this man was doing the right thing. But the Lord said this, let the dead bury the dead. And he has the right perspective on the situation. You would have to agree with that. Now, I'm not trying to... I understand. I don't think the Lord's saying, don't you attend your daddy's funeral. Don't you go help bury him. I don't think he's saying that at all. I think what he's trying to say to this guy is this right here, you put me first. This fellow said, let me first. Me first. The Lord's saying, I come first. I come first. And my every decision we make, it ought to be made in light of putting the Lord first. Here's what happens as you serve the Lord. It becomes your life, if you will allow it to. Brother Brian, that's so. You know as well, probably at you, I guess you and Chad have your hand stuck in as many activities of this church as anybody does. And the fact of the matter is, it can consume your life. You could spend 3 days a week working on the band round. Would I be sideways to say that? And then you've got the nursing home and the prison and the different things you do, Brother Brian. And Chad's got his hand stuck in a lot of things that's going on around here. And here's what they'll say. Here's what they said to me. Man, I just don't have time for anything. And the fact of the matter is, that's so. That's so. You see, this work is so great. And what did chapter 10, verse 2 say? The laborers are plenteous. The laborers are few. Not many workers. And it's just how it is. There's just not many workers out there. And then, even when you get folks to work, when the new wears off, they're through. When it becomes a labor, many times people, they like new and novel things. But when the new wears off and it becomes a work and a labor, then they're through. But really, that's not what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for you to put Him first. For you to put Him first. Let's go on. Let's look at the next one. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. I see this as a social excuse, if you could allow me to say that. And I think it's interesting, two of the three reasons given revolved around the family. And here's the thing, the family is God-given. The family is of God. So God gives you this, and the devil will take your family, this God-given gift, and use it against you to hinder you in the work of the Lord. You're walking a tightrope. I understand that. You're trying to be a good whatever relation to your family member, sister, brother, son, daughter, whatever it is. You're trying to be a good godly family member. But at the same time, God says this, I want you to put me first. He comes first. Here's the thing. If we make a difference in our community, somebody's going to have to put the Lord first. He tells us to. He tells us in verse 23 to take up our cross daily. And then we come over here and we see some folks that once they commit, we're in it, we're with you, we're going to follow you, Lord. Then all of a sudden these things start jumping up in their life to hinder them. Isn't that how it is? How many times have you said this, I'm going to do better. Here's what I'm going to do. And the fact of the matter is, things start jumping up in your life. And many times we get defeated with it. Isn't that right? It's how it's been in my life. And so here's what I'm saying. There has to be, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, there has to be a serious commitment to putting the Lord first. Preacher, should I neglect my family? No. 1,000 times no. And I heard Brother James Jones say this one time, and I'll probably get it wrong, but he said godly, I don't want to say requirements, godly responsibilities will not conflict. Godly responsibilities. You have a responsibility to your family. You have a responsibility to your job. You have a responsibility to your church. And all these God-given have a responsibility to the weak, the feeble-minded, those that rule over you, the unruly. You have a responsibility to all those folks. But they, if you put God first, they will not conflict. Something to think about, isn't it? And see, here's the thing. When you sell out for God, that's when the devil's coming after you. There'll just be one thing right after another. And my, we're in this fast-paced, busy world we're living in. And you know it's fast-paced. I mean, it's just somebody's putting pressure on you to do something all the time. But here's what God said. I have to be first. I have to be first. Here's what we have to do. This is just how it is if you're going to serve God. There's things you have to leave out of your life. Or if they're already in your life, you have to put them out of your life. There's not time for you to participate in all that the world participates in. It's not there. Your job, your family, and your church. What more time do you have? How can you play? There's folks that, I'll use golf, I don't think anybody golfs in here. There's folks that golf 3 or 4 days a week during when the weather's permitting. And then they read their magazines and they're talking about the clubs and they're doing all that stuff, polishing their shoes and getting all that stuff you do with a golf habit. All that stuff, all that time. You can't do that and serve God. Not like that. You can have a little entertainment from time to time. But you can't serve God and have all these other interests. It won't work. He has to be first. Here's some interest. These last two, anyway, were some concerns and some things that they wanted to put first. And the Lord said this, no. I come first. And then he says this in verse 62. And I think this probably, he's talking to this last man, but I like to apply it to all of them. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what I just see out of that? Just a little country statement to you all tonight. I see a man that loses focus in the work. Can you plow looking back? I'm not a plower. I know this. I can't mow the yard looking back. And they tell me you can't plow looking back. I never plowed with a mule and a plow, but it makes sense that you couldn't. How could you plow a straight line? Here's the whole idea that got him out of focus, and he's looking back at and something's caught his interest more than what his work is to be. And so is it spiritually. Does something have your interest more than the work of the Lord? Getting ready to start a new year. You don't know it, but there's a couple little activities I'm thinking about, praying about, feel like the Lord may be dealing with us about starting around here. And here's the thing. Well, preacher, we're too busy now. I know it. I know it. We can go down the list. Monday night's FBI. Tuesday night's the prison. Wednesday night's church. Friday night's family night. Thursday night, we come up for an hour to breathe a little bit. Saturday, we're in prayer. Friday, every other Friday night, we're in prayer. And then all day Sunday. Preacher, how? Then our special meetings on top of that. Preacher, how? I don't know. I don't know. I just know there's something nudging me. Can we put the Lord first? It's the Lord first in your life. That's my little thought this evening. Three places he discusses discipleship as he writes to help Theophilus. And I wonder where we're at. I wonder where we're at in this thing. It's the Lord first in your life. Is He first? Let's bow our heads. Emily, yeah, come to the piano. I don't know. I don't know if God spoke to anybody this evening. If He didn't, that's fine. Or if He spoke to you and you don't need to come. But if you do need to pray, let me give you a verse of a song tonight. Here's my challenge to you tonight. Let's put the Lord first. When these things start popping up in our lives and we want to say, me first, let me first do this or do that, let's put Him first. Let's be a true disciple.